Recently, many of us have been very disappointed, to say the least, and shocked by the public glorifying and support of Elon Musk and the like for Stephen Christopher, aka Tommy Robinson, when evidence is clearly showing people are testifying to his devil-like behavior. Well, we have another insider who was part of this hate group, an official lover of Tommy Robinson. So we need you to help us get this message to Elon Musk and the like and others, with the hope that maybe they can change the same way he did. My next guest grew up in a small northeast village in England and says he was sucked in to extreme fear-mongering propaganda and fake news. He confesses that he was shamefully a racist Tommy Robinson lover who he thought spoke sense. He decided he wanted to confront Muslims without the gangs and the shouting. He prepared himself to be met with the hatred of Muslims. He went on to visit a mosque, and to his surprise, the imam invited him in. He was shocked. Suddenly, he says, the hatred and intolerance he had of Muslims suddenly began to fade slowly. Now, he went on to do something unimaginable, but for him, it was totally life-changing. And his life, he says, has never been better. So we need you to get this to the likes of Elon Musk and the Tommy Robinson supporters who are filled with this type of hate, and to show what happens when you do what he did and the positive outcomes. So let's get ready to meet Islam Jackson.
You know, if you were to say to me, what is your dream da'wah center? I would probably draw up some plans and say, it's got to have this and it's got to have that and it's got to have that. That is exactly what Brother Eddie told me that they are producing, a mega da'wah center, which honestly has like my dream list on it, on everything that would be needed in a da'wah center that would be beneficial for Muslims and non-Muslims in America. So this is your opportunity to help and support and to donate, be a part of this effort. Every small amount that you give, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you see the reward multiplied and it becomes a sadaqah jariyah, an ongoing charity for you, so that you benefit even in the afterlife. So donate now.
Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this one.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Alaikum salam. Thank you.
You heard the introduction not too long ago. You're walking into this mosque. But before that, what did you know about Muslims and Islam?
Everything I knew about Muslims and Islam was all negative. I was very active on social media from a young age. And I came across one day on Twitter, you know, ADL, English Defense League. And I'm like, what's this? And of course, I'd heard of Islam, but didn't know nothing about it. And all these videos are coming up, all the bad stuff, you know, the extremists and stuff. And then it came to the attacks in the UK and stuff like this. And so I'm following them thinking, man, Muslims, they're not good people. It's all in bad light, this. I don't like Islam. And it was in our country, and Tommy Robinson was explaining how they take it over, and there's areas in the UK what's unrecognisable and stuff. And so I was instantly drawn to him. Oh, he's our saviour. Look at him highlighting this stuff. So I didn't have no good views on Islam or Muslims, despite the fact of my own ignorance. I didn't know anything about it, just from what I'd heard from social media. Yeah, and I don't know, I got hooked quite quick on it. I began following more ADL accounts and stuff, and then I started looking, Googling news clips and stuff like this. And at the time as well, my sister actually was going with a Muslim, and I never met him, and I said I didn't want to meet him. I just had bad expectations about him and stuff. And over the years, I'd deliberately cause arguments with Muslims online, just to full of hatred, just to try and get a reaction from them and stuff. And I have a friend of mine, he's actually my school teacher, and he's very, he's very educated man. And he'd always sort of, when I'd give these far-right views on social media posts, he'd just sort of explain it from another perspective. But at the time, I was thinking, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, you don't know how dangerous we're living in with Muslims around us in this warped reality, what I had in my head. And one day he just said to me, have you ever thought about going to a mosque to actually ask them yourself these questions? And I thought, I was actually scared at first. I didn't think it would be accepted, you know, especially telling them I'm from ADL and stuff. But I don't know, something kept nagging at me. I don't know what it was, something in my head. And I just thought, okay, then maybe we'll go for this. So years later, I decided that I reached out to a mosque, found out the location that wasn't too far from where I lived, and I just went to the door and just knocked on the door, and I was actually expecting confrontation, you know. Then the door just opened quietly, and there was just the imam stood there, and I just had to tell him straight. I said, "Look, I'm from the EDL. I want to learn about."
Wait, he just showed up. So you show up at the mosque, you say, "Hey, look, I'm from the EDL."
First thing I said was, "I'm from the EDL." But you know, I had to tell him straight because I was expecting a fight. I was expecting him to shout and stuff, or, and he just smiled and just, it was just, his whole demeanor was so calm. It was amazing. It was really amazing. And he says, "Please come in." And I walked in. And when I stepped in, it was like stepping into a different world. It was just so peaceful. It was really, really nice. But I was still on edge a bit. And he said, "Please come in." And he took me into his office and we sat down. And he just began explaining stuff about Islam. He says, "What have you heard, first of all?" And I was explaining a few things, you know. But it was really mind-altering. I just wish I did it many years before. And we were sat talking, and my plan was just to tell him I was ADL and stuff, and just to maybe talk for maybe, I don't know, half an hour. I ended up being there, I think I was there about 3 hours. I was just mesmerized by the whole thing. And so he says, "Would you like to watch us pray?" And I thought, well, he seems nice so far. Yeah, I will. And I walked inside into the praying room, and I just had this overwhelming feeling. I can't even explain it to this day. It was just so relaxed, and I felt like that's where I needed to be, if that makes any sense. It was really amazing. And I watched them pray, you know, and he says, "Please come back next week." And he gave me like a sheet of paper with a few things. And I went home and I read them and stuff. And it was amazing. And I went back the next week, you know, and he recommended a course online, which I did. It was like a online Islamic course. So I've actually got certificates from that.
Wow.
Yeah. And just from there, it was crazy because I wouldn't associate with Muslims. After I went there for a bit, I ended up getting a job delivering pizzas, and the owner was Muslim. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but so I always been radicalized at a young age that Muslims hate you, they don't like to touch food after you and all this. And I bought a bar of chocolate, and I says to the boss, I says, "Do you want some?" And he said, "Yeah, snap me some off." And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, but Muslims don't like to touch food after you, and all this weird old EDL stuff start coming back to me. And I says, "No, here, you can get it yourself." And he says, "No, please snap me some off." So I snapped him some off again, and he just ate it. So just normal stuff, what you just consider normal, in my head was just unheard of, the Muslims doing this sort of stuff. It was crazy. And my whole, I mean, at the time I was going through a bad part of my life. I ended up getting a bad drug addiction, a really bad drug addiction. I was locked up just in the cells 1 week. And I was like, I need to sort my life out and stuff. And I didn't know where to turn to and stuff. And I got on my knees and I prayed the Christian way. And I got up from the floor and I didn't feel any different and stuff. And then the next week I got locked up exactly a week later. So I was sat in the cell and thought, you know, I know how to pray the Islamic way. I might give it a shot. And that the police had said that, "Look, you're getting remanded tomorrow. You're going to court and you're getting remanded." And I was like, okay, so if anyone's going to get me out of this, if there is a God, I'm going to pray to Allah. And so I prayed the Muslim way, the Islamic way. And I lay back on my cell thing, and I felt, ooh, you know, I feel a bit better now. This felt a lot more comfortable. Because at this time I was a firm atheist. I was christened at birth and then became a firm atheist. And then I've tried to pray the Islamic way. So I went to court the next day, and the judge looks at all the charges I had, and he says, you know, "I've never done this before, but you're not going to jail. You're going to go out, and these are your conditions." And the first thing that came to my head was that praying worked. I prayed to Allah, and that worked. And during my drug addiction, I'd lost my family members. I'd lost my daughter. I was basically just isolated from the whole world. And so every time I began to pray, stuff would happen, positivity, all the time. I've never ever had anything like it in my life. I prayed that my daughter would contact me, my daughter contacted me. I prayed I would make amends with my father. I made amends for my father. Every single thing I've prayed for since has come true. I decided in January this year that I'd finally commit to being a full Muslim and do my Shahada, and I've never looked back. Honestly, I've been filled so embarrassing because I've been filled so much hatred over the years. I mean, when your heart's full of hatred, you've got no place for love, and it's very sad that I've neglected that over the years, but I'm trying to make amends now. All the people who I've hurt in the past. And I was talking to the Imam and I said, "Look, I've insulted Islam in the past. Will Allah forgive me and stuff?" And I've insulted Muslims. And he says, "Yes, as long as your heart's in the right place, Allah guides who He will on the right path." And I do feel like I'm on the right path now. I feel like this is where I belong. And every time I go into my mosque, I'm always made to feel welcome, and everyone shakes my hand and stuff. And a lot of them are quite surprised that I'm from the EDL. The funny thing is, I did two protests with Tommy Robinson, and one of the protests, there's a village next to my village, and the old pub was getting turned into a mosque. So back in the days, I was like, everyone was up in arms, and it was in the newspaper and stuff, and there was about 1,000 people turned out to protest against this, and I was one of them. And the very pub that turned into a mosque, where I was outside protesting, is the very mosque I go to today. So it's gone full circle. I've went from outside hating it to inside the mosque and loving it. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
Wow. So you went from protesting from that mosque being open to actually now praying in that mosque.
The exact same mosque. The exact same mosque.
Wow. That is truly amazing. I want to just let people know who are hearing this term Allah for the first time. You might show up on the video here where when you translate the language Jesus spoke, which is Aramaic, Jesus would say Allah. This is the same God, Allah. And Arabic and Jews who are Arabic, Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also use the word Allah. So this is not some different God. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Christians might consider him the Father in heaven. This is the creator, God Almighty, Allah. So you are praying to the one who created Jesus, the one who Jesus was praying to. And now things are changing. And let's take a step back. What did you know? And most people, what do they, why did they, there's been such a growing popularity now that you have people like Elon Musk who are supporting a person like Tommy Robinson. And what is it, do you think, that drives people that are getting that he's getting all this backing now?
That's something I can't put my finger on. I really don't know. See, Elon Musk's in the position where he should know better. I mean, the man's a billionaire. He meets everybody. He knows all different races, cultures, and stuff. I genuinely don't know what goes through that man's head. Why he's, the thing with Tommy Robinson, if he didn't just target a specific ethnicity or specific religion, and he went after all grooming gangs, the man could be a politician. The man will be loved by Muslims. The man will be loved by Hindu, by everybody. But the fact he can tell he's just racist towards one group. It's his downfall, and that's what I start to notice. But regarding Elon Musk, I really don't know. The man seems pretty warped to me.
I mean, these things we find that this name, Stefan Christopher. Have you heard this name, Stefan? Have you heard this name, Stefan Christopher?
Is that no? Is that Tommy's proper name?
Yeah, that's his proper name. Yeah, that's his proper name. So when I say Stefan Christopher, that's actually AKA Tommy Robinson. I mean, many people, they attack Muslims, and many of these things that they attack Muslims for have nothing to do with Islam. So now you have Tommy Robinson. Many of his, we come to know that many of the people who have been some of his lead supporters in this actual group, they've actually been charged and convicted of pedo activities. Did you know at the time that also people are coming out that are talking about this drug addiction and the misuse of donation funds, and all this corruption? Did you know about that?
They just don't seem to understand that Robinson's criminal record is highly extensive and very unpleasant. So, for 20 years, he's been breaking the law. This is not a nice guy. This is a pretty repellent human being. He's monetized his hatred of Islam. It has warped, in my view, all his so-called journalism, activism, whatever he wants to call it, because it's always skewed against Muslims. It's never fair and balanced in any way.
If you haven't already, go ahead, guys. Subscribe right now.
Didn't know about any of their pedo convictions or stuff like that. When I did, I've only did two protests, and my friends came along both times. It just seemed out of control. Anyway, there was no organisation to it. And I remember Tommy saying, it was a while ago now, but something about he needed money to fund a bus, like a double-decker bus or something he was getting to highlight the grooming gangs and stuff. And everyone's like, yes, yes. And a lot of people donated loads of money. And next thing you know, oh, I'm not getting a bus now. And no one ever questioned where the money went. It's strange. Like, that's one thing that made me step back and think, hold on a minute, where's that money gone? You know, it's obvious now he's in it for his own personal gains. But I didn't know about drug addiction. I can say, because when I was in the marches, there was a lot of people on drugs there. You could clearly tell. These are like myself, just misguided, radicalized. And it's sad to say, I don't see the drug issue being solved anytime soon for anything. Drugs is right at the minute.
Do you think if people like Elon Musk, if they knew what you know now about Muslims and Islam, would still have this hate that we're seeing towards Muslims and Islam?
Absolutely not. I mean, what we fear and we don't understand, we instantly have a hatred towards. It's sort of a human genetic thing. And it's clear people that don't understand Islam, I didn't understand Islam. And that's why I disliked it, because I was radicalized. If you learn about Islam, go to a mosque and talk to an actual imam. There's no other thing but peace and love from Islam. And I can say that from the bottom of my heart. Learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. I do think that Elon Musk just repeats a lot of far-right rhetoric, that he doesn't. I don't think he wants to learn about Islam. I think he just likes to criticize to keep himself popular. That's just my personal opinion.
I mean, do you think if he knew what many people are starting to, what's being uncovered about some of the stories that you're saying about the bus and then the people coming out with the cocaine stories and all this other stuff, you know, the misuse of the funds, did you think Elon Musk knows about this? And if he did know about this, would he still consider supporting him?
That's a tough question. I really don't know. Surely you can't support someone who's...
You would think he wouldn't, but you don't know what's going on.
Exactly, yeah. I think he's trying to drum up publicity just in the wrong place. I don't think it would matter, even if he did know these facts, to be honest, he would still probably do it just to cause conflict, in my personal opinion.
It's very shocking to see someone in such one of the most influential men out there, Elon Musk, to have this kind of money, this kind of status. And you would think he would do something like yourself, somebody who's brave, courageous, and you just went to the mosque and you got to the source of what you thought was the problem. That Elon Musk, I'm sure he can knock on many mosques and people would love to sit and talk with him. And I think that conversation would go, I mean, well, if he come and explore and ask questions. And that's a surprising thing. Someone like you has the common sense to do that. Why not him? I don't get it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, he's certainly got the mental capability to go and just have an honest discussion at a mosque, you know, but I don't think he wants to. I think he's shut off from that whole concept. He's got his beliefs and I think he's just stuck with them. That's my personal opinion. It's a very strange thing and very sad to see as well.
Yeah. We want people to get this to Elon Musk. We want people to get this to the people who are the Tommy Robinson supporters, who are kind of many who are still brainwashed or filled with this hate, to see what happens when you take that hate to properly get educated, sit with the Muslims, learn what Islam truly is, and you see how your life can change for the better.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was sat with the imam and my whole perception changed, I'll just tell you a quick story where my friend, he was also at the EDL march and stuff, and I picked him up one day in the car, and this was after I'd been to the mosque, and he knew I'd been to the mosque, but he was like, you shouldn't go there, you know, dismissive. And I was like, look, you really need to come with me. You need to see for yourself. It's not what we've been told. So we're in the car one day, and he said, you know, he had his little girl at the park, and he was pushing her on the swing. And he says a Muslim lady came over with her little girl, and she put her little girl in the swing, and she's pushing her baby. And he says, and then she went over and she pushed both swings together. And he says, so I got my child and quickly left. And I went, and he must have expected me to start laughing or agree with him. And I pulled the car over and I says, what did you just say? And he repeated what he said. And I was just like, I lost my head with him. You know, I was like, that is, can you imagine how that woman felt? Can you imagine how some Muslims feel in the world? They already feel isolated in this country with stuff like what ADL stuff and Tommy Robinson says. Can you imagine how she felt? And I was absolutely disgusted. And I saw my old self in him. And I just thought, maybe say, I will never go back to that way again. You know, you've got, when your heart's full of hate, you've got no time, you've got no place for love. And it was, oh, it still makes me sad to this day that he actually did that to that woman. And it's sad that, sadly, that still happens. There's still Islamophobic attacks in the UK still. To the people like who are still in the ADL now, they really need to just reach out to a Muslim, go to a mosque and just have a genuine, honest conversation. And I can guarantee you all the fears and hatred that you've got will soon melt away, and you'll realise that you've been lied to and you've been radicalised like I was.
And another evidence and proof, when you look at us here, you're a native born in the UK.
Yes, yeah.
So you're European. So you're European, right? Are you half Pakistani?
Or no, half? Just English.
neither am I. So I'm also European. I'm American, and you're also now a Muslim. The good news is that you actually, and a Muslim is simply one like Jesus and Moses and Abraham and all the prophets and messengers that God sent. There's always the same message. Is one who submits his or her will to the will of the creator of the heavens and earth. That's the concept. It's always been there. That's what a Muslim is. So you're a Muslim, I'm a Muslim, and we're living submission to the creator, not the creation, in one word that's summed up with Islam. That's it. And we've dispelled a huge myth that the majority of Muslims are Arabs, because a Muslim can be someone from, like you, from the UK, from America, from anywhere in the world.
All over the world. I had due to my drug addiction, I went into rehab, and they all know now that I'm a Muslim. I converted at the start of the year, and they've all been actually, there's been no hatred or anything. Everyone's very supportive. You know, I've legally changed my first name, or I'm in the process of legally changing my first name to Islam. I had a friend come up to me and say, you know, now that you're a Muslim, do you identify as black? And I was like you just said yourself, Islam is all different races and ethnicities and cultures and stuff. Once you're Muslim, and that's it. But it's nice that they ask questions. Even in rehab, they ask questions about Islam. And I've got one friend, he's just came in, he's suffering from addiction, and he said he didn't attend marches, but he used to be EDL sort of views, and he wants to come to the mosque with me next week, so I'm going to take him to the mosque next week. So it's all good.
This is, I can't stress for people watching, you got to get this out to every person that has this hate, their heart is filled with this extreme propaganda that's filled their mind, this extremism. Like, we have a beautiful example right here. What happens when you come and visit with the Muslims to the mosque? And I want to quote, I want to share with you here. We have Tommy Robinson being praised by Elon Musk's father, who says that Tommy Robinson says, his father says that he was like Nelson. He's like comparing him to Nelson Mandela.
At the time, he was considered a criminal. At the time, if you'd said to people, he will be the president of South Africa one day, people would have thought you had lost your marbles or something was wrong with you.
Well, look,
so only Nelson Mandela.
There's a quote that I want to, I don't know if his father knows about this quote, but it goes into what we're talking about, where Nelson Mandela, who Elon Musk's father is comparing Tommy Robbins to, this is like just incredible. Now, it's Nelson Mandela said that no one is born hating another person because of the color of their skin or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate. And if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with Nelson Mandela. But I don't know how we can link Nelson Mandela with Tommy Robinson. That baffles my head. I've got no idea. Sorry. I can't help you with that. That is crazy.
Yeah. So So you did something that was probably unimaginable for Elon Musk, for Tommy Robinson and the like. You didn't become a Pakistani. You didn't become an Arab like we just talked about, but you took your Shahada. And this is something we invite Elon Musk to do, Tommy Robinson to do. Everyone can change their ways and go from be a hater to someone who's connected with the one God. And the Shahada is what, if you were living during the time of Jesus, you would have taken, living during the time of Moses, you would have taken. It's testifying what's in your innate nature, that fitra, that I bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. In Arabic, Allah. In Aramaic, Allah, the language Jesus spoke. And if you're living during the time of Jesus, you would say Jesus is the messenger of God. During the time of Moses, Moses is the messenger of God. But now it's Muhammad, peace be upon them all, who's the final messenger sent to mankind. And you took your Shahada. Talk to us about that moment. What convinced you finally to step forward and be courageous enough to take your Shahada and accept Islam?
I learned about, obviously, visiting the mosque and stuff like that. I thought, okay, my views were not as radical there. I was more relaxed. I didn't feel as much hatred towards them for no reason. Then the more I went, I thought, this is ridiculous as hatred. I'm holding on to this. But I never actually committed to being a Muslim. It was just like, I knew that information. I thought, okay, then. So during this time, my drug addiction got worse and worse. I had no God. I was spiritually lost, basically, and I was spiritually sick. And like I say, I was repeatedly locked up. And then when I went in the cells, and I thought, I can't keep doing this. This is just a wasted life. How many billions of Muslims in the world? It's the fastest growing religion in the world,
2 billion, 2 billion Muslims. Yeah. 2 billion, 2 billion Muslims.
And I thought, I can't keep living like this. And I thought, I need a complete revamp. I need to change my life for the better. And of course, when I was in the cell and I prayed the Islamic way, and it worked. And ever since I've prayed, it's worked and worked. I thought, rather than just do little bits, get out of jail, and then just go back to my old ways, I need to stick at this. I need to submit to Allah. So I thought, I'm going to do it. And so January, in front of the imam, I went to the mosque and stuff. And I said, it was up. When you stand there and maybe, say, you get tingles in the back of your neck, your hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And I recited the Shahada and I had the tingles in the back of my head, but it went right down my back. And I was like, I just felt amazing after it, and we hugged and stuff and we prayed. And I've just gone, spiritually, I'll keep rising up. Every time I pray, I feel like I'm getting closer to God. It's the best decision I've ever made. I don't ever regret becoming a Muslim. Not one bit. My family's very supportive. I've got loads of Muslim friends now. The Shahada, I'd recommend to anyone if they want to change their life for the better. Definitely do it. I definitely recommend it.
Islam Jackson, I'd like to congratulate you again. And hopefully this can inspire people like Elon Musk, hopefully the Tommy Robinson lovers and others to really look into Islam truly. From the Muslim perspective, not from the sources of Islam, get to know us, not from the hate-filled rhetoric that you've heard from the fake news and the people who are causing this division between humanity and humans, but visit a mosque, come, have some tea, have some lunch, dinner. You'll be welcome like this young man was, and then ask your tough questions. Let's sit, let's dialogue, let's talk, and let's see what happens from there. And you're a great example of that, of courage, coming to sit with Muslims and you see what happens from there. Amazing.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's like for Christians, that's like hallelujah, praising God, the Most High. So may Allah continue to bless you, preserve you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Go to thedeenshow.com. We'll get you a free copy of the Quran.